Thank you for putting on your hiking boots and joining me for this session of On the Right ADHD Trail. I'm Kathy Gett, owner of Get Focused. I'm a certified ADHD life coach and a certified Sanity School for Parents trainer. This is my third time hosting this summit focusing on men and ADHD. I'm really excited to chat with each of these 15 incredible ADHD experts. You can find out more about me and my coaching practice at getfocused.com. That's getfocused.com. But before I bring on my next guest, I want to be sure to thank our VIP summit sponsor, Lori Dupar, owner and director of IAC Coach Training Center, where they teach people wanting to become ADHD life coaches how to use coaching to make the change they wish to see in the world. You can find out more about the IAC Center and ADHD Life Coach Training at iactcenter.com. Enroll now for classes starting January 2022. Are you already worried how am I going to find the time to listen this weekend? I have a solution for you. Simply upgrade to On the Right ADHD Trail Backpack. For only $85, you have extended digital access to all the recordings, a transcript of our audio interviews, and a special bonus, you are in the drawing for a $100 gift certificate from REI. But enough talking, let's get started and meet our next presenter, Elaine Taylor Klaus, author, parent, educator, and certified coach. Elaine is the CEO of ImpactParents.com, founded in 2011 because the support she needed as a parent wasn't there when her three complex kids were young. Elaine co-created the Sanity School Behavior Therapy Training Program to support parents of complex kids and has authored Parenting ADHD Now, and my favorite, The Essential Guide to Raising Complex Kids with ADHD, Anxiety, and More. Impact Parents provides training, coaching, and support worldwide, empowering parents to guide their children, teens, and young adults to become independent and successful and to enjoy the wild ride of parenting in the process. Elaine's presentation today, Being the Partner You Want to Be, Even with ADHD. Many men with ADHD really want to be the kind of equal partner that their spouse, significant other, or co-parent wants them to be. But let's be honest, sometimes ADHD can interfere. That's what ADHD is known for. After all, we know what we want to do, but it's hard to get ourselves to do it. You know, add in emotional intensity or hypersensitivity, and it's a lot for any human to navigate. In this conversation, Elaine talks about the importance of intention and understanding when learning to direct and manage challenges with attention, impulsivity, forgetfulness, and so much more. Thank you. Welcome, Elaine. So much for being here today.
Thanks, Kathy, for that wonderful introduction and for doing this amazing summit. It's so needed, and I'm so glad you've been doing it. Now, it's hard to believe it's been 3 years. It's so cool.
I know.
It's so exciting, and I'm really thrilled to be talking about being the partner you want to be, because, you know, this year, in the last year in the pandemic, I've been doing a whole ton of work with parents who are also partners with ADHD and trying to figure out how to make that dance, and you know, my husband and I have been navigating it now for almost 30 years, so I just think it's a really important topic. I'm psyched. Let's, you know, tell me what you want to hear, and let's see what we think could be most helpful for people.
Okay. Well, what interferes with anyone being the partner they want to be in a relationship? I mean, there's a lot going on, but what is it with the ADHD?
Well, I think what happens when you have partners, whether one or both has ADHD, there's so many things that are happening. But a big piece of it is that there's this tendency to take things personally, to ascribe your partner's behavior as if it's personal or somehow an indication of love, right? So if he loved me, he would X. If she loved me, she knows this is important to me, so her not doing that means that she doesn't care. And so when we sort of take it personally, when we take their ADHD personally and their disorganization, their distractibility, their impulsivity, whatever it is, and we take it as somehow a sign of how much they care about us or whether they care, it's a recipe for disaster. I mean, if you think about it, right, it just totally interferes because you've got two things going on. One, you've got a couple who is committed to partner with each other in life, right? And
right.
So that partnership may be based on companionship and love and loyalty and commitment and shared values and all these things. But when one of them has ADHD, you've also got a member of a partnership who struggles with accountability, reliability, dependability, depends on how their ADHD shows up, right? And so if the partner takes that as a sign of disloyalty, then it really interferes. So, you know, I always often say, so my husband and I both have ADHD, and his is definitely more significant than mine. And in the early years, we didn't know that. Or we kind of knew he had something, but I wasn't yet diagnosed. And there were a lot of years of me building a lot of resentment and a lot of frustration because he said he would pick something up on the way home and then he didn't remember, or he said he would do something and he didn't do it. And, you know, and then I was taking it personally, saying that, you know, you said you would. And so how can I count on you? So there was a lot of frustration and concern and challenges and overwhelm and hurt. But I think what really saved our marriage, to be honest, more than anything else, was that we had good conversations. And I always knew that his intention was to partner with me, was to be a good partner to me. He wasn't saying, why do you care so much? He wasn't being obnoxious about it. He was coming home and would say, did you pick it up? Like, oh man, I'm so sorry, I forgot. And I know that he cared and he wanted his intention, as they say. I think intention precedes attention. And so his intention was to be my partner and my intention was to be his. It took us a while to figure out how to put our attention on it, if you will, and figure out how to be that for each other. But knowing that we were trying, that our commitment was to be that for each other, really helped me get rid of the years of resentment that did build up those first 10 years as we began to understand what was really going on. And, you know, I remember writing a piece years and years ago early on about, you know, that additional part of the other entity in our relationship. There was him, there was me, and then there was ADHD. And that ADHD definitely plays a huge role in the dynamic of our partnership.
Yeah. Don't you wish that everybody could understand that ADHD plays such a dynamic role in the partnership? I mean, it's just...
Right, and we can choose how much power we want to give it or not, right? We don't have to give it power, but if we start blaming and we start taking it personally, we actually give it way more power than it deserves.
Yeah. Well, so you mentioned that intention, understanding, and attention are all connected. What do you mean by that? I hear you say intention and attention, but what about understanding? Is that the communication part you're talking about?
Well, I think that understanding comes in a lot of places. Like, first, you got to understand the big picture of what's really going on here. You know, that there is a gigantic elephant in the room, and we got to talk about it. We got to understand it, and we got to know where it is, what it is. So, understanding shows up at the beginning of really understanding. You know, whether you have two adults with ADD or ADHD, or one with and one without. What are our strengths? What are our challenges? Right? What's actually happening, and why? Right. If we know that it's an executive function condition, we're going to deal with that differently than if we think he's just being forgetful or he doesn't care. So that's the first place that understanding shows up. Okay. And then once we get a grasp of the ADHD or of whatever the dynamic is and the ways that ADHD contributes to it, I think is maybe a better way of putting it. Then I think what's really important is to set the intention, to take aim and set an intention on what is it that we're trying to improve? What are we trying to change? You know, when we work with parents of complex kids, we say you can't change mornings, but you can take aim on one aspect of morning. So when I say put attention on something, it means begin to identify where's the challenge that you want to address. And then with that intention, and we can put our attention on it and problem solve around how we might want to address it. So like real example in my family dynamic.
Okay.
My husband and I were struggling with division of labor in the house. And, you know, early on when I was a stay-at-home mom, I was doing everything and he was working all the time. And it was a recipe for not very much connection. And as I started working more and his work shifted and he started working out of the house because he became a coach as well, things started shifting. And at some point, we set the intention to have a more equal partnership, to share the load a little more. And he had wanted to do that, but we began to say, okay, how? If that's your intention is to share the load with me and my intention is to lighten my load and let go of some things and let you take them on without micromanaging you, which is a big piece, then what do we do? And as we started paying attention to it, the place we started asking, what's the shift? What do we really want? We realized, in our case, I'm a terrible cook and I hate managing food. David is a great cook and loves managing food. And so we kind of looked at it and went, okay, there's something wrong with this picture if I'm in charge of food and I hate it and I'm terrible. I mean, really, Kathy, I can burn water. I'm terrible. And I know they call that boiling, but somehow I can still char a pot. It's just unbelievable.
You boiled water out.
I do. It's terrible. So, but when we sort of got real about it and said, okay, when we set the intention to balance the workload, then we were able to put our attention on what are you good at? What am I good at? What do you handle well? What do I handle well? And began to reorient how we were going to work together. So, like, I joke that I failed forms in college. So he's responsible for filling out all the forms. I might be coordinating getting the kids signed up for, you know, whatever sport or school or camp or whatever, but he was going to be the one that filled out the forms. That's the division of labor we worked out. I might help figure out what the meal plan is going to be for the week, but he's going to do the grocery shopping and he's going to do the cooking. Those are just examples. But what happened was we were able to do that when we stopped blaming or taking it personally or getting offended and started saying, what are you good at and what am I good at? And how do we play to our strengths? And how do we set the intention to really focus on shifting this dynamic and then problem solve within that? So that's what I mean by attention follows intention. If you don't decide what you want to change in the first place, you're probably not going to come up with a pattern or a process or a plan to change it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's really true. In our relationship, we've been married 42 years, and I would say both of us, we haven't been diagnosed, but I would say going through all my coaching, both of us have ADHD. But I love to cook, so I do the cooking, but I do not like to be out in the yard and take care of this big yard. And he is really happy out there doing that, and I think that helped us a lot because it used to be, oh, my God, I've got to go do this yard, take care of this. But he's like, no, this is what I really like to do and everything. So, yeah, communication is really one of the most important things to be able to talk about the intention of what you want to do.
Well, but you can't talk about it if you haven't decided we're going to do this together, right?
Well, right. We have to decide that we're going to do it together. No, you're right. Absolutely about that. Well, what suggestions do you have for men to communicate without getting defensive that they're trying to make improvements to themselves? You know, because sometimes they are trying to make it, but it's not coming across like that. You understand
what I'm saying? You hit the nail on the head, which is without getting defensive, right? The most powerful thing I think you can do is to own your stuff and to be clear and transparent and honest about what you do well and what you don't, and to be able to say, I know I'm letting you down in this area and I'm really sorry. It's not my intention. I'm really struggling and I'm trying hard and it's just not working for me. These are the areas, and it may be, this is what I know I can do for you and this is what I need some help with. But if you start off by saying, no, you didn't tell me I was supposed to pick up the milk on the way home. You're not creating a dynamic that has anybody want to trust you when you say, man, I really meant to and I forgot. Because it's very likely that you're going to forget. And so then it's about how do I come up with ways to remember. You know, my husband, if I'm sending him to the grocery store, I know I'm not sending him to the grocery store without texting him a list. I'm not expecting him to remember. And I'm actually not even expecting him to remember to take it with him. It's not a reasonable expectation. Right. So if I can know that texting him a list is not a big deal and I'm not taking it personally because he should have remembered, well, that's just judging him for a neurological challenge that he can't control. Then that's the key. So the biggest thing we can do is to let go of judgment on one side and let go of defensiveness on the other and be matter of fact. It is what it is. And part of the fact may be, I feel bad, I feel sorry, I feel disappointed, I don't mean to disappoint you, right? I don't mean to hurt you. Being really genuine about that is a really powerful thing. And I'm telling you, I think that saved my marriage because I really believed you didn't want to let me down.
Right. No, I truly believe that too, that that would have been the point right there. Saved your marriage and everything, we can have these emotions, and I think we have to be able to accept these emotions and not feel bad about these emotions, don't you think,
yeah.
Elaine? That
indeed.
You can feel the frustration, but it's okay to feel it. It doesn't mean you're gonna, you know, be mad at them forever. But it's okay, because if we don't, then we're going to just be bottling it all inside of us. And some of us are very hypersensitivity, you know, of emotions and everything. It just hits us a lot harder than some other people do and everything. So,
yeah, we feel deeply. And then the other thing, I think sometimes what we get is particularly for men, because I've worked with a lot of men with ADHD. Oftentimes what I see is if the dad has got ADHD, in this case I'm talking about when there's parenting involved, then often that reactivity may lead to the mom becoming overprotective, not overprotective, but very protective of the kid, right? And trying to defend the kids from the dad's frustration or agitation. And so there's this other piece that's about owning our emotion and learning how to manage it or learning how to remove ourselves until we've calmed ourselves down. So part of it is not being defensive, but part of it is also, as you say, recognizing when we have an emotionality issue and figuring out what supports we need to get to manage it, because it's not okay to take it out on our family. Doesn't matter how volatile we are, how sensitive we are, we've still got to not have it have a negative impact on our family. We've got to learn to navigate it.
Well, Elaine, we're getting close to the end. Do you have any last moment thoughts you want to share with us, and tell us about the gift that you have for our audience?
Wow, that went so fast, Kathy. Amazing.
Keep telling us more.
What?
Yeah, give me a minute. Keep talking. We've got more.
It's just amazing to me. There's always more to say. I think it's so important. the most important thing I'm thinking about is how the value of a man listening to these conversations and making the effort. 9 times out of 10, the partner in your life wants nothing more from you than to make the effort, to know that you're trying. It's okay if you don't hit it 100%. It's okay if you're not all there, but knowing that you're making the effort, that you care enough to try to shift the dynamic, to change your behavior, to treat them differently or more kindly or more patiently or whatever that is that they want from you. That's part of what we're talking about with intention. That effort, that A for effort really matters in a relationship. So I think that's the piece. What I really want to leave people with is that it takes two in a dynamic. And, you know, I have definitely worked with people whose partner was no longer willing. By the time he was ready to get a handle on his ADD, she had given up hope that it was even possible. And that's real. That's why the divorce rate is so high. And yet, if you can begin to say, to own your stuff, to say, I realize, to acknowledge their experience, I realize that I've been doing this, I've been causing this frustration for you, it's not purposeful, and I'm really making an effort to try to change it, and I'm getting some help to try to change it, that will go a long way to any partner, no matter what gender, right? In trusting and believing that their spouse or their partner is committed to wanting to be in a healthy relationship with them. So know that A for effort matters a lot in this environment.
And I would imagine in the parenting end of it also, you're wanting to see that he's helping or she is helping out and making that extra effort. And your parenting classes, I'm sure, must help a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, this is hard stuff. I was talking to somebody recently, like the weirdest thing about ADHD is it's so maligned in the news and the media. And the truth is it's a supremely complicated diagnosis. It manifests in, you know, five different areas of challenge and six different areas of executive function. And I mean, you get five people in a room with ADD, it looks about 10 different ways.
We really have to
understand it and understand the nuances of it and begin to recognize it, not as an excuse, but as an explanation for what's happening so that we can learn to manage it and mitigate those behaviors.
Yeah, because I think some people think, oh, you have ADHD, that's your excuse. Well, no, that's not our excuse. We're trying to figure out ways to live with it, and we're trying to figure out ways to live with our family with it and, you know, accept me.
Right.
And know that I'm trying. Just know that I'm trying.
And if I know that I'm challenged in organization, or I'm challenged in impulsivity, or I'm challenged in attention, or in emotionality, right? It shows up in all these different ways. If I understand what the challenge is, then I can begin to do something to manage it. But if I don't understand it, then I'm just going to make up that I'm lazy, crazy, or stupid, or somebody else is going to tell me that, and I'm going to start believing it. And that's not a healthy way to go through life.
No. And most of our children that are complex have heard that so much. And let's help them so that when they become an adult, they're not going to be struggling like some of the adults are that, you know, have heard this their whole entire life. It's a hard thing to, you know, work with and to accept yourself as I'm good. I'm a good person. And I have all these.
You can be a good person with. And you can still be forgetful.
Yes,
they are not too true and unrelated, you know.
That's right.
So you had asked about the gift that we have. That's exactly why we chose the gift we chose for this audience, because what we've got for them is I know it's called a tip sheet, but it's really more than a tip sheet. I promise you, it's top 12 tips to help complex kids, starting with you. And it's really about any relationship dynamic. So you can use it as much with helping your kids as you can with helping with the partnership that you have with a spouse or a partner, because it's really about looking at yourself and where the change starts. We can't control what happens with other people, but we can control how we respond. And so this PDF is really 12 descriptions, explanations of things that you can do and concepts that you can understand to help you begin to change the dynamics, because relationship changes are really nuanced. Their little changes can have a big impact. And so these 12 things are some of our top tips from all the years we've been doing this. These are the 12 most important things. We feel like if you understand these concepts and begin to use these tactics, you can really shift the dynamic in your home.
Well, how about telling them about your book, your newest book, The Essential Guide to Raising Complex Kids? I want the audience to know that there's an audio version of it, and it's fantastic. Bex reads it, and it just helped me. I've read this book probably 2 times already, but I've listened to it recently, and I was like, oh, I didn't pick that up in the book. So it's a really great thing that you got it onto audio. I'm so thankful to you for that.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, as you said, it's called The Essential Guide to Raising Complex Kids with ADHD, Anxiety, and More. And it was designed to be the typical parenting book for kids who are not so typical. You know, it's really what parents and teachers need to know, what they really need to know to empower these complex kids without feeling shamed and failure as a parent because the traditional parenting approaches don't work with our kids. So this was really designed to be the typical parenting book for atypical kids. And as you say, Bex, just for those who are listening, Bex is my eldest child. And Bex is also an actor and a voice actor. So Bex read the book. And it was really fun to have them read this book. Of course, they struggled with the times where they had to reference their father as their husband and tell stories on themselves. But they did a great job. And thank you for your feedback, because I will share it with them. And we've gotten some great feedback on the reading of this book. It definitely keeps you awake.
It does. How about talking about your Sanity School?
I'd love to. So Sanity School is a behavior training program for parents. It's called Sanity School for Parents. It's a 6-class course online, and it's basically the foundations of the coach approach to parenting. It's kind of a companion guide. The book is the companion guide for the class. But it is recommended treatment for parents of kids with ADHD and other challenges of executive function. The first line treatment, change always starts with you, y'all. It's not, we think it's our kids, but it's really us. And so Sanity School is the place to get your head around understanding what's going on with complex kids and how do you begin to use coaching strategies and skills and concepts to begin to make those subtle shifts that have such a big impact with your kids. And Sanity School is a great way to do that.
I only wish it would have been around when I was raising my children. I'm not
you and me both.
Oh,
it would have been so helpful, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. It would have. Well, Elaine, how can our audience get a hold of you if they'd like to contact you?
Well, we have a ton of resources and a fabulous blog and all kinds of stuff available for you at impactparents.com. And Kathy, is there a link that they gave you for the sheet, impactparents.com/something? What would it be for your audience?
They just said impactparents.com website. Did you want to give us more information to add to that? And then we have the URL for the gift, but it doesn't have anything else on there.
Okay. Well, that'll do. Impactparents.com. There's, and then I'm sure you'll give them the link for the gift, which is more information there. And if you are interested in the book, you can go to impactparents.com/essential and get some free extra downloads and stuff for the book. So if you go to impactparents.com, there's lots of great stuff there, lots of free resources and lots of ways to get more information. And we're happy to help in whatever way we can.
Thank you. Well, thank you so much, Elaine. It's just been a pleasure talking to you, and I think we've learned some new things and great things about how to be a spouse, significant other, or co-parent. Want to share how to be a good, better parent, shall we say, or better partner and everything. So thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It was a pleasure. I appreciate being here very much.
Okay. Well, just hang on, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to have another I'm losing my mind. We're going to have another interview in just a few minutes. Go get a drink of water and come on back. Thank you very much.